Hey everybody, welcome to StarWarsReport.com and the Star Wars Report podcast. Welcome, come one, come all. Hey, it's our Dragon Con coverage. We're coming at you fresh off of Dragon Con 2013. And man, did we have a good time. This is a very special episode. This is our episode 7 panel that we were on. We talked about it leading up to the show, but we were on with Sean Rosato, we were on with some of the Mando Mercs guys, we were on with Brian Young, who's the moderator from Full of Sith Podcast, and it's of course Bethany and myself talking all about the latest rumors and speculation and conjecture for Star Wars Episode 7. This panel was kind of, in the most friendly sense of the term, nicknamed the Episode 7 Sanity Panel, I think is what I heard some people calling it. It was kind of a call for sanity. Well, of course, shamelessly speculating about what we know nothing about Star Wars Episode 7. So yeah, I really enjoyed being on this panel. This is the first ever panel that I have had the privilege to be a panelist on at any convention. So I was nervous at the time, but I thought it went really well, and there's some really great and entertaining and engaging folks with some really, really great opinions. Goodness knows they're smarter, way smarter and more entertaining than I am. So it's some great stuff. I had the opportunity to have the old recorder plugged into the sound system, so it's actually pretty decent audio quality, which I'm very pleased with. So and we'll be coming at you with some more highlights and panels on audio and on all other kinds of good Dragon Con coverage. I don't have it all in front of me right now, but definitely stay tuned to StarWarsReport.com. And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, subscribed to our mailing list at StarWarsReport.com/mailing list, and that way you will be sure to get all of our Dragon Con 2013 audio coverage. We've got some fantastic interviews coming your way, but I won't take up any more time on this introduction to tell you all about that. You guys know it's coming. Just watch StarWarsReport.com. But without further ado, let me go ahead and introduce the 2013 Dragon Con panel, What We Know About Star Wars Episode 7. Take it away.
So, really quickly, I'd like everyone on the panel to introduce themselves so we can actually qualify all of the random wild speculation we're going to make here today. Why we should be doing that.
Well, so we got a credential? Oh, crap. Yeah.
Wait, no one else has credentials for all the wild crap they make up.
We can absolutely legitimately say absolutely nothing about this film. We know nothing.
So let's introduce everybody first. We'll start at the end. Yeah.
Gentlemen?
My name is Tom Hutchins. I'm the founder and CEO of the Mandalorian Mercs and a huge Star Wars fan looking forward to Episode 7.
James Clark, an administrator for BobaFett.com since 2007.
My name is Sean Rosato. I'm the host of a geek podcast, Sean Kastic, and incidentally, the guy who invented the concept of Ewoks eating people.
I think Ewoks invented that. Like, they were going to eat Han.
No. Officially, in Lucasfilm canon, they actually credited me as the guy who came up with the concept of Ewoks eat people. I am not even making this up. We'll talk about that in a minute.
That's awesome. I am Bethany Blanton. I'm one of the founders and hosts of the StarWarsReport.com and the Star Wars Report podcast.
Same deal, Riley Blanton, the brother. There is another. I'm the founder of StarWarsReport.com.
And I'm Brian Young. I co-host the Full of Sith podcast, and I write for various publications like Big Shiny Robot, and I'm doing a column for the official Star Wars blog, and I've got some stuff in Star Wars Insider in the last issue and the next few. So I like Star Wars.
I've heard. Is it? That's a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie. So I think to start, we can quite firmly say what we do know, which is not much. We know that. Do you guys want to just let's go with
like eight things? I think.
Yeah. Do we want to start with the release date or end with the release date?
We'll do that last.
Yeah. Do the last because that's the one that's most.
Because we know
right
director.
Now.
Okay. Yeah. We know the director. J.J. Yeah. Abrams is directing.
Executive producer.
Boo! What?
Well, we didn't say Star Trek 3, people. All right. Like we said, Star Wars.
Last time that guy delved into like 80s classic cinema filmmaking was Super 8. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, let's keep in mind that, you know, a lot of people judge Abrams on the Star Trek, you know, like, merit, and people forget that this guy is a Star Wars fan first and foremost. He made Star Trek more like Star Wars. So when somebody gives him the saga, come on. I mean, his geek is going to come out in, like, all sorts of new and interesting ways. At least that's the way I'm looking at it.
So J.J. Abrams is directing that based on a script by Michael Arndt, who wrote Toy Story 3.
Then we have right
and Little Miss Sunshine.
Now, I don't like mentioning that film because it was terrible.
We also have John Williams has confirmed his back to do the score, which is great.
Excited about that.
That's kind of like...
Well, no, because exec producer.
Yeah, which is Kathleen Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Right.
And if you haven't seen any movies in the last 20 years that she produced, then you're missing out on some really good ones.
Like, seriously.
Back to the Future, Indiana Jones?
Yeah, every Indiana Jones. Yeah. Most of the Star Wars movies.
Goonies.
Yeah.
So and then we have Doug Chang and Ian McHager back, correct?
Yes.
They are doing the design, and they're drawing all kinds of really interesting stuff for it that we'll probably not see for another year or two.
We know it's being filmed in London.
Right.
But not at...
Not at Elstree. Not at Pinewood, yeah.
Pinewood, right?
Yeah, not the Pinewoods, yeah.
And then it's shooting in early 2014 is what's been said, which is when Avengers is shooting. And Avengers is coming out in May 2015. And it seems like Star Wars, we've been told, is going to be at least summer 2015. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times a website might say it's December, and that they need more time to work on the story or to work on the movie, the only two official indications we've been given of when the movie is coming out, one, when they announced Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim. You guys are all going to be there, right?
Yep.
Just us. It's just we're gonna, right. Yeah. We're the only ones.
People are
going
to show up to Celebration. Yeah. Whatever.
In that release, it said that it was timed to coincide with the release of Episode 7, and that Celebration is in the last couple of weeks of April. That sentence in the press release didn't just write itself.
Right, and it's. I mean, it prepares you to go to the premiere, having just gone to and seen all the new promotions. It's probably where they're going to put the last trailer, to be honest, will be shown first at Celebration. Which is weird to me that they took the Celebration 7 off of it if they're coinciding with Episode 7.
But Disney's marketing doesn't know what they're doing. We all saw that with John Carter.
That's true.
That's true. Oh, I love John Carter.
Me too.
Moving on.
Moving on. So I think the thing is that the other official indication is that Alan Horn at D23 said that it would be coming out in September 2015, and these were just a few weeks ago. And I don't think that Disney would be secretly saying, like, man, they don't have enough time for this film. We need to move it to December, which is, I mean, it's a more crowded field. And Star Wars, other movies move for Star Wars, not the other way around.
Yeah. And I think the only thing that we can give validity to as far as why they would move in the first place is they are literally fighting themselves for box office dollars. If they keep it in May, they're fighting Avengers. And Disney's like, no, Mama will all the money. So they're going to move one of those movies off. And right now, Avengers is, of course, the hot ticket. I mean, they haven't had a remotely fluke with that series yet. That hasn't pulled in just serious bank for them. So,
but they don't have to move really anything. You know, that's the only two announced releases for May are Avengers and Star Wars. And there's, you know, 3.5 weeks mm-hmm. right in the middle. And, you know, two, three weeks is what you expect for that brunt of box office money. So there's time for both of them to be there.
I think what really is the best indicator of this is Alan Horn's comments at D23. We're saying this is a summer 2015 release. So that's the most specific official word we've had so far. There's a great write-up over at Lightsaber Rattling, if you guys follow it, by Pete. He did a great look at to what the overlap box office-wise would be, looking historically at the Marvel films that have come out and the Disney films. And he had a very compelling case for you could get both in the summer. Maybe not in May, but definitely you could still get both in the summer. So I do think that some of the rumors that everyone's jumping to the conclusion that this has got to be a December release are at least... I think it's a reflection of how we're a little bit anxious at this point for news. I mean, look at how many people are in this room. Are we ready for Star Wars Episode 7? Yeah.
So I think the other thing is, though, too, is that as somebody who's watched the box office for, like, 10 years, like, I just don't think there's a reason to move it for box office consideration. people, the audience for Star Wars is there, clearly. And it's always been there. And even the lowest performing Star Wars movie at the box office still sold more tickets than, like, anything.
Yeah, but, and this is the thing, is that we're looking at this from, you know, the fact that we're looking at it from a business point of view of fans as well. Disney has a very, very hard time releasing two back-to-back blockbusters because they feel it's not in their best interest. Disney, in general, doesn't like to release two blockbuster movies close together. Look at how they release their Pixar movies and then, like, John Carter. They wait a month, maybe a month and a half, so that way they don't conflict with one another, even though they could have put them, you know, 2-3 weeks apart, and they would have done just fine, in theory. So it's really more of an idea, but I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that it wouldn't sustain itself, is that I think Disney's a little gun-shy about having their two gigantic blockbuster tentpole movies and putting them 3 weeks apart.
But again, they haven't given us any indication that they're moving it.
Yeah.
Or even that they've announced a date. So it's hard to say they're moving it when they haven't actually announced a date in the first place. And the other thing, to people who think that well, they need more time to make the movie, again, Avengers is on the same timeline. They're shooting in January. They're going to be releasing in May 2015. And I went through and found the original shooting schedule for A New Hope. And you know that to release in May 1977, they started shooting March 1976. So this is a much more comfortable schedule than that. Mm. And then the other thing we know is that guy's cell phone was ringing.
Yeah.
They did announce a cast list, but they didn't put any names. It was just physical descriptions of about 8 characters that could be anybody.
Yeah.
And one guy who was not necessarily fit that could literally be anybody in this room. It could be.
Did anyone send in a resume? Or, no.
Can I?
Yeah. Who was on the list? There was
Fred Solo.
They were all very fit.
That's what we know.
Fit male, female. Then there was a young female, like a younger, like adolescent female or whatever.
A tween. Also fit.
Yeah, tween. Yeah. And then there was an aged military type older man. Which, to me, all of those are just screaming Thrawn trilogy, but I'm trying not to get too excited, you know, because it's not going to happen.
We're about to get to the conjecture portion of our panel, people.
I'm holding off.
Now, what are we, 6 minutes in?
Did they put out casting notices for any blue guys?
No. I can start the conjecture with saying, like, I really don't think that this movie's going to have anything to do with the established EU.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
It's not, which is going to break a lot of
It could
of
be.
Hearts,
it could be. I don't know.
Well, I think, and we were talking about this right before the panel started, I think that Disney and Lucasfilm would be crazy not to consider portions of the EU, but to consider EU a steadfast, we have to do this, is the wrong play. You know, just like they take things like Coruscant and, you know, they take like Isla Sakura and they pepper them in. You know, give me Mara Jade, right? I mean, you know, give me Mara Jade. If you don't give me the Solo twins, as much as I love Jason and Jaina, I'll get over it if you make a compelling new kid. You know, if I don't get, you know, Ben Skywalker, I'm not going to lose it, you know. But there are certain things that I think we all would like to see, such as Boba Fett climbing out of the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, yeah.
I think most people here would be okay with that idea.
Look, when they announced the merger, or the buyout, all right, one of the top topics of discussion that, what's his name, the Disney...
Alan Horn?
The owner, is he the CEO?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right.
Bob Iger.
Iger was talking to his trustees and the people on the board with Disney. They were talking about toys. It was their number one discussion. And the income for the toys from Star Wars dwarfs the income that the movies brought in. All right. And that's still a lot. So what's the number one highest selling Star Wars toy ever? It's Boba Fett, guys. Come on. So you want to bring in the toy money, who are you going to have in Episode 7 that we conveniently saw meet his demise in Episode 6?
But he could have a standalone film, and we don't need to sully Episode 7 with a guy who can barely...
I think he'll absolutely have a standalone film, but I think he's a main character enough at this point where they'll have him in episode 7 and then have him go off into his own solo film.
And since we are talking about Disney, you know, kind of doing the whole Coda idea at the end of all their movies now, just imagine, end of episode 7, right? No Boba Fett. Last credit rolls. All you see is a hand come up out of the pit. Boom! That's it. Cut to black. And everybody will see that movie a million times because you're going to see that Mando glove come out. Boom!
And then Bob Iger
would be 40 years later, so it would be just a hand. Everything else would
be just a hand.
And then Bob Iger was like, Boba Fett. Where?
But one thing we're talking about here is Disney, and I mean, they are the new owners, but Disney has a habit of remaining pretty hands-off of their franchises. So I really don't know how much influence Disney will have on any of these decisions, really.
Yeah, I think looking to the Marvel model is a really good way to glean information where you've got Kevin Feige at Marvel, who's sort of like the guy there. And I think Kathleen Kennedy seems to be the person who's that analog over at Lucasfilm. And they're making the decisions to make the best movie possible, and I have every faith that they will, because they always have.
And, you know, a lot of people say that, okay, well, Marvel hasn't had their hand into, or Disney hasn't had their hand into Marvel all that much. Let's look at it like this. Okay, basically, Disney bought Marvel about halfway through Phase 1. And then we got to see just a little bit of, like, their fingers in, like, the Avengers movie. And then, of course, we got to see a lot of them in Iron Man 3, and then the upcoming Captain America, Thor, and then we get Guardians of the Galaxy. And what I think is really, like, interesting about this is that they're making smart plays with Marvel. They're saying, we're going to take safe movies, and we're going to take a risk. If you apply that to the Star Wars model, that means that we'll get our trilogy. We'll get our new saga, our new sequels, and then maybe we get a Boba Fett movie. Maybe we get an X-Wing movie. For the love of God, Lucasfilm, if you can hear me, give me an X-Wing movie. Like, oh, I want an X-Wing movie so bad. You know, but they can take a risk, and they can spread out that risk over three other guaranteed moneymakers. And that, if they do a phase model like Marvel's been doing, it's going to be nothing but bank, I think. Yeah.
If we're going to have... Sorry, go ahead.
But even if you have the Pixar movie, again, Disney was fairly hands-off, and the creative... Basically, the creative teams behind each of these movies have the freedom that they need to run with their creativity, but they have the power of a company like Disney behind them.
But in the case of Pixar, though, they did take inferior Pixar movies and then make further inferior sequels, planes.
In your opinion.
Cars 2. Did you ever see Cars 2?
No, I hated the first one.
It's literally about oil. It's like how big oil is bad. And I'm not even saying subtextually that's what it's about. I mean, the characters are called Big Oil. And I'm like...
I did avoid Cars 2.
So, but, okay, so we have... Who is it that said, when they first did this, they said they were going to do the three sequel trilogy movies, okay? So then they said, off the bat, two spin-off movies.
Right, all right? Spin-offs.
So,
yeah.
So who are our spin-off characters, do you think? I'm thinking Han and Boba Fett are our two. A Han prequel and a Boba Fett sequel.
Okay, hold on. Now, I gotta here, okay? Sorry. Now, I love the idea of a Han Solo movie if it was 1993. All right, because I want Harrison Ford to be Han Solo, and I do not want
Harrison Ford in Aliens.
Well, in 1993, you could have had Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yeah, oh, that'd have been nice. But my idea is, like, I'm sitting here going, do I really want, like, you know, 73-year-old Han Solo in his own movie or now? Like, where, like, he's in the Millennium Falcon trying to find the refresher, like, oh, God, I'm not going to make it. And they're just like, I got that real dramatic music because he's trying to take a dump and they can't find it, you know, and then they're like, what's a parsec? And he, I don't know.
Who's that guy that played Tommy Lee Jones?
Josh Brolin.
Almost Batman before Batflick.
Find Harrison Ford.
Okay, so find the equivalent of Harrison Ford and then cast a young version, basically, and do a prequel that way?
No. That's no. No.
They will absolutely do that.
Yeah.
That's not true.
That's
exactly like him.
That's impossible! He did it, okay? I just teed off of it.
So how often do you guys troll the internet looking for the most outrageous rumors about
Stars? And all
those rumors
are from Latino Review.
They're all from Latino Review.
God. Yeah, oh God.
Everyone who links something on the internet. Oh,
hey, is anybody
Review.
From Latino Review here?
Okay,
good.
Yeah. Those guys.
You get three stories right, and all of a sudden Latino Review is like the second coming of news journalism for movies, right? No. They miss it a lot. But, I mean, I would like to see, honestly, like, if I got my dream spinoff movie, I would like to see an X-Wing movie, or I'd like to see, like, a Jedi Academy movie. Like, focus on the building of the New Order. Like, because
well,
me
be
for...
Episode 7.
We don't even know if that's going to happen, though.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, they said we get two spinoff movies.
No. We don't even know if there's going to be the rebuilding of the Jedi Order, like, in
that's
the books
true.
And stuff. We have no idea. What if Luke's just like...
Luke just
like... Yeah.
Dude, like, Luke just drops the lightsaber. Done. Like Chris walks, like Chris Lloyd Rockstyle just walks off. Hey, Carrie Fisher picks it up, like, ooh, you know. You know, actually, I'd like to see Carrie Fisher beat the crap out of somebody with a lightsaber. That'd be kind of awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that's something that they kind of allude to in the past, and then we get, like, a Princess Leia spinoff movie.
I think that's happened to
They hired personal trainers or something like that for
Did you guys hear about this? Have you all heard about this? How basically they said if Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher want to stay in episode 7, they gave them personal trainers and said, you got to give up drinking, you got to give up smoking, you got to go to like 5 a.m. and work with like a personal trainer 6 hours a day. And they're miserable. Like, I actually, a friend of mine interviewed Mark Hamill, and off the record, he was like, no. He's like, this is, he's like, I'm doing it because it's going to be amazing, but he's like in hell right now because they're just working him so hard. And, you know, and he's enjoying, you know, getting into, you know, the mature part of his years and just kind of kicking back. And, you know, he's done so many great things. They're like, no, now you got to get back into shape. And he's like, guys, I've been a voice actor for the last 20 years.
I let myself go for a reason.
Right?
Yeah.
But come on. I mean, imagine in your minds Mark Hamill walking on stage with a beard, you know, for episode 7. Because he's got to have
looking
the
like
beard.
Obi-Wan,
he's got to have the beard.
That was the best part in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
That was like the only good part of that movie was Mark Hamill walking out with a lightsaber, and it's just like, that's Luke Skywalker somehow.
The blunt saber.
The blunt saber, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get a cease and desist or anything.
So if we don't see the rebuilding of the Jedi Order, what do you think might happen?
I don't know. I think that's one thing that people really need to kind of be prepared for, is that this could be nothing we've ever, like, even imagined or dreamed of. It could be something totally different. And I think preparing people for that could be, like, I think that's part of the reason that Phantom Menace didn't get the proper due that it deserved in very vocal minorities, is that they built up in their heads what they thought it should be, and then when it wasn't to the letter what they thought it should be,
and they got midichlorians.
They got pissed. Eh, what's wrong with midichlorians?
Yeah, I mean,
do what?
What's wrong with midichlorians?
The Force is
here
in
we
everything.
Go.
And midichlorians say it's not in everything. It's in very specific.
No, the midichlorians didn't say that. Bam. That's not what the midichlorians are.
Okay,
the midichlorians are a microscopic life forms that allow you to communicate with the Force.
All right, if you want to hear that discussion, you can always find me and Brian on my podcast. We talked about this last year called Jar Jar Needs Love, why we basically defend the prequels. And we spent like how long? 20 minutes on midichlorians?
Yeah, we did.
We spent a long time on it.
Nothing wrong with them. Just ignore them.
And if Brandy wants to give it to us again next year, we're more than happy to bring it back, but that's going off topic.
Sorry, I just that's,
don't want to go
that's like a really
minutes.
Easy fight I get into.
It is.
It's just like,
easy
oh god,
it's so easy.
I wasn't in the States during the Phantom Menace hype. So how long from the time where the Phantom Menace was announced till it actually came out?
I think they announced some cast stuff in like early 98, I think.
When did the special edition of the
That was 97.
Yeah,
that was early 97. Well,
right.
I remember
they had Coruscant in the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
It was about 3. It was like 2.5-3 years. So they tend to have a pretty consistent timeline with the Star Wars movies. As soon as you start to hear rumblings, you got about 3 years from the rumbling point. So as soon as somebody said Episode 7 from Lucasfilm proper, boom, you knew, okay, 3 years, we're going to most likely have a movie. And they did that with Episode 1. They've done that with all the original. And they've kept that pattern pretty well going. So
yeah,
fingers crossed.
One thing I want to say, as far as casting goes, when you read all these internet rumors about how such and such actors in talks or this person's talking with them to be in the film, understand that probably every agent in Hollywood is calling Lucasfilm and saying, like, hey, my client wants to be in Star Wars. And so that's technically in talks to be in Star Wars.
Right.
And so that agent turns around and talks to Elmay Imbe. And he's like, hey, I was talking to Lucasfilm about, you know, Alex Pettifer being in Star Wars. And he's like, holy crap, Alex Pettifer is going to be in Star Wars. And then he publishes that on the internet. So there's probably a kernel of truth to every single one of these actors you've read in talks for parts in Star Wars. But that could be very one way. There's nothing that says J.J. Abrams said, like, that's the person I want to start looking at for that part. That could be originating with the person saying, like, I really want to be in this movie. Go out and talk to people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they say talk is cheap. You know, there's nothing to somebody saying, hey, I'd love to, you know, be in the next Star Wars movie. Oh, such and such now wants to be, you know, in
it
Star Wars.
It worked for Sam Jackson.
Yeah, sometimes it works for you, you know, and other times, you know, not so much.
He talked himself up.
Well, and it's become really, really popular. And I do it as a joke now, but like every interview anybody does, it's like, so would you like to be in Episode 7? It's like, of course they'd like to be in Episode 7. I interviewed Adam Savage earlier this week, and instead of asking if he wanted to be in Episode 7, I was like, so, you've built an R2 unit. Do you want your R2 unit in Episode 7? He's like, absolutely. I'm going to call J.J. Abrams about this. You know, it's like,
Tweet that now.
Yeah, right? I think the only person we can confirm who is not in talks for episode 7 is Ben Affleck because he has prior obligations. Yeah. So beyond that, I think anybody's open for it at this point.
Well, with the exception of the Marvel crew.
How much truth was there when they announced that J.J. Abrams had taken it? I think it was in the Variety article. They said that Ben Affleck was like the second place name for taking episode 7. And I don't know about you guys, but I still want to see him come back and direct a Star Wars movie. That guy's a hell of a director.
Well, we got two more to go.
Yeah, we have
four more to go.
And they've said that it's extremely unlikely that J.J. will direct.
Yeah, he's only on 7.
Right? Yeah.
Well, there's nothing that says he will direct all of them, but there's nothing that necessarily says he won't either. And if you notice, they're very careful in all the press releases in saying that he's directing episode 7, but that doesn't... They're really smart about how they write stuff.
Yeah, and aren't doing episode 7, but they've already also announced the writers for 8 and 9. And
which is...
Kasdan.
Well, I thought they were doing the standalones. They're Kasdan and Kinberg.
They turned the next two scripts. We don't know if they're 8 or 9 or if they're the spinoffs.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, and that's an exciting name to have in that universe again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Lawrence Kasdan was...
Yeah, Kasdan, yeah.
Now, Brian, one thing you talked about was the hype leading up to The Phantom Menace. I almost think that the hype for this movie, it will be really big, but I think people won't be going into it with as much speculation because we've had the original trilogy, we've had the prequel trilogy, both were quite different. I really like both. Do you agree with that?
That you like both? Absolutely.
let me make sure I get this question right. You're asking if people are not going to be as crazy speculative?
Not as crazy speculative because hey, we're all here, but not as prone
I think,
to be.
You don't want
to
get your.
I think it's going. I think it's going to be worse. To be honest,
it.
I think it's going to be worse
really?
Because the internet creates an echo chamber. Like I said, I mean, like every time anyone mentions Phantom Menace online, within about 4 seconds, I've got a troll posting the Red Letter Media review.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's that. They create this echo chamber of negativity, and I think that episode 7 is going to... Look at the way they reacted to Ben Affleck as Batman. And I think that the second they make a casting announcement for Star Wars, no matter how perfect, it's like, we cloned Harrison Ford, and he is going to play young Han Solo in the standalone film, and we've actually been working on this for 25 years.
Yeah, that's why they had to wait so long to do a sequel, because they had to wait for the clone to get old enough.
Yeah, there's still, there's still going to be people like on the internet that's just, I don't think it looks like him. He doesn't have the scar. It's not the same. I mean, the clones don't have scars on their chins.
And then we're going to transfer Harrison Ford's brain into the clone's body, so it's basically Harrison Ford redubbed.
No. You have to get the scar. You need to put a scar on that guy.
So what you're saying is that somebody, when he was like 9 years old, went up to him like with a knife and like, give me your clone! And then like...
It's like Boys from Brazil, but with... I realize no one
Where was that guy in Indiana Jones and the Fridge of Doom? Because why didn't we have him instead of rickety old Harrison in that movie? He actually wasn't the worst part of that film.
The worst part of that movie, I think.
Or is she Harrison Ford's clone?
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah. Hannah Solo?
I think it's important to really just kind of like manage your expectations and know that you're getting a Star Wars movie, and that's enough. Don't worry about who's going to be in it, if they're going to be right or not, because as much as we all want to feel like we're participating in the process, we're just watching the process. That's it. We don't have a say.
But to feed the troll machine, I want to ask the panel a question.
Oh boy.
What's the absolute one thing you have to have in your next Star Wars movie? So let's start over here. So what do you think, sir?
I gotta have something in Mandalorian armor.
So you gotta have a Mando.
Something, yeah. Boba Fett, a Mandalorian, anything like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he stole mine. I gotta come up with a new one. I want to see Mara Jade. Like if the stories don't line up with all the other books, just don't delete characters that have been so important in like the expansion of the Star Wars universe and like brought so many fans into it. Just don't delete people.
Fair enough.
That's my request.
Okay.
I don't have too many huge single hopes. I don't have any. I want this specific character in the movie or that specific planet. But though I would like to see definitely Jedi and probably Sith in the next movie, which is very like vague and big. But It's because I have an innate trust for the creative team that's behind this movie. So I think that my expectations may not be met in the movie, but they might be exceeded because, truthfully, these guys are professionals. They know more than I do.
I mean, this can kind of be the golden egg question. It can be complex. You don't want to get this one wrong, but I think for me, the one thing that I absolutely have to have in this Star Wars movie is a release date. That's the one thing I care about.
See, for me, the one thing that if this movie doesn't have this, I'm just going to be pissed and yes. walk out, is it needs a black screen with blue words that say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
And it needs to cut to John Williams' main theme, and there needs to be a yellow Star Wars logo that fades into space. There needs to be an opening crawl, and then it needs to pan up or down or left or right. I don't care which direction it pans, but it has to pan, damn it.
Yeah. There needs to be a pan camera.
And that's what I need out of this Star Wars movie.
You need to have the line, I have a bad feeling about
this. Now, for me, mine's weird because, of course, you know, if you've seen me on a panel before, I love lightsabers, so that's you hear Jedi. But for me, honest to God, and this is so stupid, I want the Fox fanfare.
Yeah.
I'm so used to hearing the music before. I mean, that literally is part of the Star Wars theme to me. If you buy the soundtrack, it's the first thing you hear. So to not have that and to have that little Disney, ah, la, 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 la. Right? Like, I'm serious. Like, I want to go in with, like, speakers when I sit there. And if I see the Disney logo pop up, I'm just going to blare the Fox theme song, right?
I've been thinking about this a lot, actually. I've been thinking about this a lot, and if you look at what John Williams is a master at doing, it's about making things sound really close to something else that's familiar.
Yeah.
So he could just write a new piece that sounds kind of like it and just put it over that Disney theme.
I want to know if Disney has actually talked to Fox about just borrowing that music.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious if they're actually in talks about doing
that. That could be their bargaining chip for getting some of the rights back for the other movies and Ooh. Saying, like, hey, we'll put your logo on all these movies.
Holy crap, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You could get X-Men back with that alone. Holy crap. You're the man.
Okay. I completely agree with you, Sean. When we first saw Star Wars, we were a bit older, but we were still in our early teens, and I thought that the Fox fanfare was part of Star Wars.
Yes!
I didn't know it was Fox. I was just like, this is part of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Like, how weird is it whenever you watch another movie and then Star Wars doesn't come on after the fanfare, right? Every time with me, I'm like, why is there no Star Wars on right now?
It's the worst with Alien.
Yes.
When Alien starts and it's like, man, I put in Alien, but now I just want to watch Star Wars.
Right, right. You're like, I want to see a chest burster, but if there's a lightsaber with a chest burster, I'd be okay,
yeah.
Right? Like.
So, should we take some questions from the audience? Let's go, you in the back, sir.
With the shirt.
With the shirt, the green one.
Okay.
Isn't that on?
Speak up.
R2-D2 has to be in the next movie.
Yes.
Adam Savage's R2-D2.
I don't know if the person who was the Toy Story 3 person, was that the writer? Have they announced the writer?
Yes.
And I don't know any of the other works that person's done, but to me, I know Lucas did a big focus for the original trilogy from a political standpoint, and the first three, however you want to describe them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all had a very political-centered. The book somewhat carried that on. I'm curious as to, from the writer perspective, if there's any hints about how he might handle kind of continuing that political theme through those next movies.
Go ahead.
Oh, I think there are some hints that we can get, but it's going to be very difficult to tell. But I think the one thing we do know is that George Lucas hired Kathleen Kennedy and Michael Arndt before the sale. We do know that. So this is pre-Disney. Episode 7 was being worked on. I think that's worth stating because I think many people seem to assume that, Star Wars Episode 7 was a result of the Disney sale. No, it very well may have led into it. I'm sure that was something Lucas was considering when he was saying, I might be selling my company. But I think when it comes to Michael Arndt and hiring that process beforehand, we know these treatments are coming from Lucas. So I don't think there will be too much distance from the themes of the prequels or the overall six films.
Yeah, I mean... go ahead, Brian.
No, I was going to say, there's a magazine article years and years and years ago when George Lucas was still talking about how he was going to do three trilogies. And he said that... And this was before the prequels were made. And he said that Luke's trilogy was about like a really personal journey, like the hero's journey, and then the ones before that would be this really political. It would be focusing on political issues, and that the last one would be like more philosophical. And I think that seeing how politics are really at the forefront of the prequel trilogy, and then they kind of take a back seat to that personal hero's journey in the middle section, I think we could see it fade into the background similarly in this next trilogy, where politics seem to have been sorted out. You know, the Empire's gone, and then it's more about moral dilemmas. I really liked the idea when they were saying, which I think it's completely bunk, but if it happens, awesome, that Ian McDiarmid was going to be in it as a Force ghost. And it was right. Like how that would be a really interesting philosophical debate. Like, here's this evil that still exists even though we've finished off its corporeal form. How do you kill something's soul?
Right. I mean, for me, I think that one of the more interesting aspects of the entire universe in general is the fact that one thing I loved about the EU was the battle for winning over the hearts and minds of the people once the alliance was reestablished, you know, once they basically made the new alliance. And I know that they're pretty much saying that they're jumping ahead maybe 20 years in the future, so we're not going to get that immediate rebuilding of the Republic. But once you have about 20 years of something going on, you start to see the kinks in the armor, things like that. I would love to see Luke not only having problems trying to philosophically deal with these problems of, am I going to build the Jedi Order again? You know, are people falling to the dark side? But also, what happens when the people stop living the dream? You get the dream. The dream's yours. What do you do with it then? You know, that's actually something that would be really interesting. You know, the Solo kids or the Skywalker kids trying to say, oh, okay, well, you had this great utopian of we've got to beat the Empire. What do we have? You know, and all of a sudden it becomes like Star Wars Fight Club.
It's the lost generation. It's like Hemingway. The Skywalker kids are like Hemingway and Fitzgerald in Paris, just drunk.
All right, guys, hold on. Let's queue up in the middle right here. That way we can get everybody's questions in as fast as possible, okay? So go ahead and take the one in the back.
I have a question.
You have a question for the panel?
Well, I have a question for the panel, too, while they're lining
up. While they're lining up.
So, in the prequel trilogy, well, obviously in the original trilogy, you have your main character is Luke Skywalker, right? He's kind of like the main central character. The story kind of revolves around him. All right, so, and then in the prequel trilogy, it's really more Obi-Wan than anyone else.
I'd say Anakin.
Well, I mean, both, but I mean, in the first one, Obi-Wan's really kind of more prominent character.
Qui-Gon.
For like half a Phantom Menace, like sitting on the ship, like playing with his lightsaber.
So then, even then, there's two different main characters of those trilogies. So who do you think the main character of a new trilogy would be? Would it be one of their children?
My guess is it's going to be whoever J.J. Abrams tells me it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. I thought we were discussing rumors.
Well, the thing is like, I really don't think that anything from the EU is going to make it. And if it does, it's going to be the way it has on Clone Wars, where they'll sit down in a story meeting and they'll say, like, let's do something like this. And then a guy like Filoni will go, oh, you know, there's this bit of, you know, EU that could plug into that idea that you've got. So we'll just happen to adapt the EU around that.
Right.
I think if anything from the EU finds its way into Episode 7, that's probably how it's going to be.
Right, that's kind of how I want them to do Mara Jade. Don't take the Mara Jade story like part and parcel. Just say, okay, Mara Jade will marry Luke Skywalker, spoilers, you know, sometime in the future, and then that's all we know. Like, there is a Mara Jade, and we kind of get
Can
that.
Can you imagine if she's like Marion in Raiders, and it's like she's gone, and it's like he meets her at some bar in like Tatooine, you know, like it's her bar.
She's trying to sell him death sticks.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, James, to answer your question, I would assume, because the George Lucas treatments are being used, that it will focus on the Skywalkers. I wouldn't know, but I would guess that would be the case, because that's the way that George has typically gone.
Yeah, and tangentially, probably the Solo kids, too, I would think, yeah?
So they're all part of
Because they're all Skywalkers.
At that point, they're all Skywalkers.
Oh, I've never heard of the Solo kids.
Fred.
I'm sorry. Who? Yes.
Fred Solo.
Yeah, Fred.
Yeah.
Well, you do know that Alex Pettyfer was in the movie Stormbreaker, which also had Ewan McGregor.
Not relevant.
Are we playing 6 Degrees of Star Wars?
Exactly.
Is that 6 Degrees of Star Wars coming 2015 or 2014?
Dennis Lawson, Ewan McGregor.
We don't have an exact date yet, though, so hang tight.
You were talking about rebuilding the Jedi Order, but I was curious about what Empire's role would be in the new movies and maybe rebuilding the Empire without doing General Thrawn storyline. how that would figure in, do you think?
You gotta imagine there's still a lot of Imperials left over.
Yeah, I mean, I always love the idea of the Remnant. You know, if anybody here has read the EU, the Remnant was basically, there were a couple sectors of space where, like, people liked being in the Empire. They were all basically, like, the white supremacists of Star Wars, right? They're like, we're like, hey, we like this, we're just gonna hang out here. They're all, like, the human supremacists. They're like, aliens, get out.
I don't like change.
And they're like, we don't like nothing. We like our Death Stars and our Star Destroyers. You know, and they're just rolling around the TIE fighters and everybody's having a good day. By the way, they would totally be British. They wouldn't be Southern folk, okay? So, I mean, I would think that would be something interesting, is that there is still some Imperial Remnant out there. It's just not powerful anymore. They're like huts.
Or even if it's not like an official Remnant, that there would be still, there would be Imperials, only they would act more like the Rebels.
Yeah.
It might be racist, be terrible, sexist Rebels, but they would play the role of the Rebels, possibly.
Give me Diggit.
I think it would be really interesting to see if you look at the way Clone Wars and the Star Wars movies have always sort of borrowed through, echoing through history. Like, look at the Japanese post World War II and how they had to deal with that reconstruction, or Germany, like the occupation of Vienna, things like that. I think that might be indications. But again, I mean, this movie is like 40 years later, so all of that's probably settled business. So if anything comes up out of the woodwork, it's going to be like a surprise.
Hi, speaking of the time frame, I've heard 20 and 40. I mean, I was thinking about the ages of Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, especially, you know, Harrison Ford, who's more, they're more of a grandparent age right now than they are of a parent age. I mean, if they were parents, their kids would be like 30,
like all
35.
All the older Star Wars fans are like just ooing you right now. Like,
no,
oh!
Because the casting information that we got was
20s.
Yeah,
exactly. 20s. So I'm thinking they would probably want the protagonists of this movie to be like teenagers, right? Because that's the demographic, right? So wouldn't it be really the grandchildren who would be, like, you know, in this story and being active, and how does that figure into speculation? How do you think that changes things?
I haven't seen the movie, so I can't, like, change my opinion of what it could have been versus what it is now, and that could be, that very well could be. Or they could have, like, spent a lot of time, you know, Leia and Han and Luke and whoever he's with, you know, gallivanting around the galaxy, destroying those Imperial remnants and bringing, but, you know, they don't have time for kids. You know, what's more boring than Han and Leia running around with a grandkid?
And let's be fair. I mean, when you look at the actual time that has been between the end of Jedi to now, it's been 30 years. You know, I'm only 35 years old. That means that if they cast somebody in their early 20s, that can line up. Did they get started a little later? You know, did Han, like, say, wait, I don't want to settle down yet? Again, Han prequel, right? You know, something, I mean, you could have some really interesting stories. So they're not in absolute grandparent zone, even though, of course, Harrison Ford was, what, he was 40 when he started this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, he's, you know, quite a bit older. But you can muff it a little bit, because I've heard that, from what I've understood, it's supposed to be 20 years every trilogy. So, you know, 20 years, 20 years, so on and so forth. If they did a trilogy after this one, it would be 20 years later. So I don't know if there's any water to that, but that's...
I can't wait to find out.
I know.
Right? I mean, that's exciting.
Well, I mean, plus, there's no time to have a family when you're off saving the galaxy. So, yeah, I think they probably just got started late.
At the end of Return of the Jedi, can you see Han Solo like, wow, we got that Death Star blown up. You want to start having kids?
Yeah.
Like, I can't see. I mean, like, we can get into the act. Yeah, he wants to practice, but I just don't think Han Solo is just like.
Now that you're not interested in your brother anymore.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, have I mentioned how weird that is lately? Because that was really weird. Okay.
Like, I want to see a conversation where they discuss that. I want to see Han and Leia go, or Luke and Leia go, like, yeah, it was really weird kissing you that time.
Right, right. But you know what they should do is they should have it like as a total tangential moment, where like one of the kids are walking into the room and Luke says, yeah, that was weird, we don't talk about that. And that's all you get. You never get the front end of that story. They just kind of, and Leia and Luke have this weird awkward moment. The kid walks in and he's like, what happened? Nothing. You want brownies? And just move on with the story.
Well, and to address more real world aspect of this question too, I mean, we did already mention those personal trainers, you know, cutting off alcohol, tobacco, that sort of stuff. They're doing that for a reason. So
make them look a little younger, more buff.
They'll just Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, them back to younger age.
Oh, like, from X3?
From X3.
Don't do that. That was weird.
That was weird.
How do you think the fact that this is going to be a guaranteed trilogy is going to affect the storytelling?
A lot.
Storytelling in what?
In the new trilogy?
Oh, he asked you a question.
Touché, mister.
Okay. What is that when you look at Star Wars, you see that Star Wars: A New Hope is written very differently because there were, at that time, it was only going to be this one movie. He didn't know that he was going to get 2 and 3. And so in 2 and 3, you see a much more tied together story. And so not all the elements in 2 were fully resolved before until you got to, the Return of the Jedi.
Does that make represent sense? What up? Yep.
Personally, I think having the breaks between the movies makes the time between them much more interesting. I'm a big fan of intermissions in movies, and I'm going to bore everyone with a Lawrence of Arabia reference. But in the middle of Lawrence of Arabia, when it breaks for intermission and then comes back, and everybody's talking about things that happened before, and you were wondering if you were watching the same movie from the first half because things had changed so much, I think that's a really exciting tool that they could be using, knowing that they have all three movies that they could change things in between. And because we all have an idea of what the EU or what the post-Return of the Jedi era could look like, they can play with those expectations. If Arndt is such a huge Star Wars fan and does know the EU, he can use those preconceptions against us to surprise us even more. And I it's terribly exciting to me.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I've always noticed that when you ever talk to people about Star Wars, what their favorite movies are, normally, like, bar none, Empire, and then, of course, you know, Jedi, kind of you put those two together because they're so closely tied timeline-wise. You know, like, seriously, like, one leads right into the other for the most part. I mean, you watch Jedi or Empire, you're like, must find out what happens to Han. Boom, go to Jedi, right? And they tie together because they obviously were conceived as a finishing of this trilogy. But you go to, like, you know, the prequels, and they're basically three standalone movies that are tied together character-wise. But, you know, between episode 1 and 2, it's like 15 years or whatever. What, how long? Like, 10 years? 9, 10 years. Like, what the hell was that? You know, that doesn't tie two movies together. And then when you look at episode 2 to 3, they're supposedly about 3 or 4 years, I think. Something like that, yeah. So it's just all these gaps. I would love to see them do something close to what they did with Empire and Jedi. Give us a 3-year span. Like, you know, every movie's a year or something. Or even make it, you know, like, do what they did at the end of Empire. Like, every movie ends on a cliffhanger. You know, the end of episode 7, cliffhanger. End of episode 8, cliffhanger. Then you get the resolution in 9. I would poop my pants for, like, the next 6 years, right? Like, I gotta wait how long for the next movie?
Can I ask the panel a question?
I'm so glad you're not making this.
Really quickly. How would you guys react to watching the deaths of any of the major characters that we know?
I love that.
As a Chewbacca fan, you know my response.
I think, like, you have to.
I think it's almost necessary at some levels that some of the major characters die, because if you sit there and you've got the same character all the time, the story starts to get dry. I mean, you've got to get rid of some of the old to make room for some of the new.
Well, and the thing is,
yeah, mortality of main characters is so important.
Well, and but the story of Star Wars is not the story of Luke Skywalker. It's not the story of Anakin Skywalker. It's not the story of Han Solo. Everyone has their favorite characters. But I think, and kind of going back to the previous question, when it comes to Arndt working with these treatments from Lucas has had an idea of these stories for years. They've morphed in and out, and they've changed as it goes along. But I think thematically, we have a very strong continuity going into these next three films. But when it comes to seeing the main character deaths, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. And I think it is a fantastic opportunity to show on the thematically what Star Wars is about, which is good versus evil. And that doesn't come without sacrifice. We see that in the prequels with Anakin's fall, and we see that later in episodes 4, 5, and 6 as well.
Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you guys all saw Toy Story 3. How many dry eyes were in the house on that one?
Right. I mean, dude. I think just the specter of death will just make us cry like babies, right? But I think one thing that, you know, we've learned from Shakespeare, I mean, Joss Whedon, is that, you know, you want to kill off a character that everybody loves. You kind of need to do that, which means that, you know, if you're sitting here looking at how can we make sure to get people right back into Star Wars, I think Han Solo or Luke Skywalker is going to buy it. I think Han
should have bought it in Return of the Jedi, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing I think is really fitting when you look at all the movies together, I think Skywalker kind of does have to die. I want to see him fade. Don't get me wrong, lightsabers, this girl right here is about to die. Seriously, you need to see Skywalker die, because imagine not only does he have that hero's death, you know, maybe he saves, you know, everybody at the end of episode 7, and then, like, he just fades. He goes out the way Ben went out, you know, Qui-Gon, you know, died. I mean, even his dad turned into a Force ghost. And then he's still not gone. He could be Force ghosting around. But so you get the death, you get the necessary death, but then you get Force ghost Luke going like, hey, check out my robe.
And didn't we learn the lesson from the prequels about not being, like, learning to let go of things? Like, otherwise you turn into a Sith Lord.
But another thing about this is Harrison Ford has always wanted the character of Han Solo to die. So
I just want Greedo to come back and shoot him. That's all I want. Like, hey, I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
Just like, he's got like a cybernetic chest and he's like, ookie cheeky chaba, boom.
Oh, goodness. But because of that, I mean, everyone knows Harrison Ford's reputation is somewhat cranky. I mean, we all love him, the cranky
I mean, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I know, but...
I don't know what you're talking about.
the mumble who, Ford.
I know, exactly. The one who takes money from Conan on stage. But but he could have agreed to come into these movies with the condition that Han Solo finally dies.
Well, I mean, he's been saying for as long as Return of the... I mean, since the production of Return of the Jedi, he's been saying Han Solo should die.
Yeah.
And once Return of the Jedi came out, he's always said, no, I'd never come back and play Han Solo. Never. Never going to do it. And all of a sudden he says, sure, I'll be Han Solo. And he's like, meanwhile, like, tenting his fingers like a supervillain. Like, I know how this is going to go.
Oh,
and
my God, I just saw Han Solo doing Mr. Burns. Like, excellent. Like, that's how they start episode 7, right? Like, Han Solo goes, hi, my name's Han Solo. Boom! Just throws his own head off. Like, that'll definitely get people back in the seats.
Hand raise in the audience. Who here really likes Luke? Okay, who likes Han Solo better?
Oh. Wait, better?
Okay.
What kind of, like, wait, no!
That's a loaded question. Please, your question, sir.
I didn't know there was a part 2.
All right, one quickie. What would you think for a comic relief scene if Mark Hamill, they did a Mark Hamill scene with his Joker voice before I get to my serious question? Yay or nay?
If he did a Joker voice?
For a comic
Only
relief
if he
scene.
Was teaching somebody how to use the Force, because right. That would be amazing.
All right.
Or now, if there was a character named
Harley. That's
totally
inappropriate,
Harley,
sir.
Come here. You know
All right. Mean? Now for the serious question. J.J. Abrams has said that he doesn't want to use digital film and whatnot. He wants to use the same film Lucas used when he made the original trilogy.
35 yeah, 35 celluloid, yeah.
What do you think of that?
I think they had to shoot it somehow.
Yeah. As you long know, as it projects on screen, I'm good.
Phantom Menace was on 35 millimeter too. I mean, it adds an extra step to their process. They've got to develop it before they can digitize it. But I mean, like, what are the chances of you going into a movie theater and seeing it not digitally anyway?
Yeah, I mean, digital intermediary is an extra piece. And if he wants to put Disney through that extra expense, God bless. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
they've got the money to burn.
Yeah. Well, I do think that there is an indication here that's slightly different from the narrative we've heard from Disney and Abrams so far, and that is it's been very much we've got the treatments from Lucas. This is Lucas's story. This is the continuation of Star Wars. We're doing original trilogy. That's the narrative we've got. But this is the first one that we're saying, no, we're not shooting digital, which is something that Lucas pioneered. So I think this is actually could be a little bit of an indication to where Abrams is like, no, this is my stamp.
But,
yeah. This is where I'm
putting
my foot
down. I think that's something like an artist picking which tool, like which paintbrush
sure,
he's going to
sure.
use. And it's like George Lucas isn't going to come in and say, no, you can't use like the number 8 with horsehair brush. You need to use this camel hair brush. Like, what's the difference? Who cares?
And episode 2 was the first feature film that was filmed on digital anyway.
Yeah.
So, and see, and I'm as a film person, I kind of like that Star Wars is one of those groundbreaking franchises where they step it up every time. So I honestly like the digital, and I liked every new technology that they come up with to solve a problem they have in production. But I mean, if they want to film in 35 millimeter for nostalgia's sake, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to be pioneering, just film it all on IMAX, and you're welcome.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? I mean, dude, IMAX, awesome. So good. Yeah. Okay, seriously, hold on. Everybody, get over the lens flare thing, all right? Like, do we need to go in there? Like, seriously, those, like, 4 lens flares, like, the whole damn movie, all right? Now, granted, they were on
so
the
many.
Whole time.
There were so many.
They were on the whole time, I admit. But there were like 4.
There
I mean,
were 4, and they were all 23 minutes.
I said this last year. I'll say it again this year. If lens flare is the only problem you have with J.J. Abrams doing Star Wars, you are lucky, and you should count your blessings. Drops the mic. Done.
That and not to mention J.J. Abrams. I mean, he is a creator, and he's taking a franchise that already existed and sort of reinventing it, if you will, while keeping a lot of the older elements.
Well, I think Star Trek he was reinventing. I think he's continuing this. I don't think he can. I don't think he has as much license to do that. And I think he's on a much shorter leash on this movie than the other than he was on Star Trek.
Right.
But one thing about Star Trek is, it's a pretty new universe. It's a shiny universe. People often compare Star Wars and Star Trek by saying Star Wars is kind of old and used, and Star Trek has this new feel to it.
Yeah, when did we become the old fogies, by the way?
I don't know, but I've heard it so often.
Right?
But the lens flare kind of adds to that effect. And so if you're looking at Abrams as a filmmaker, he's not going to make all of his films look exactly like all of the time. Just watch several of them. Don't just go to Star Trek every
there's
time.
There's a couple of lens flares in the Star Wars movies, so it's not out of the question.
Watch the lightsaber fights.
Or like that shot with the Falcon coming straight on with his little headlights. It's got the little lens flare. Like
opening shot of episode 3.
By the way, how awesome is that the Millennium Falcon has headlights, right? Like just bloop. I just so awesome.
Or the head clonk.
Yeah, or the head clonk, yeah.
Yeah. Something I would like to see in the new movies, how they did like in episode 5, 6, 2, and 3. They have the epic fights like in 5 and 2, the epic ground fights of army versus army. And then 3 and 6, they have the space conflicts. I just hope they continue on and actually have Star Destroyers, Mon Cal Cruisers, Tannen 4, all those, every kind of ship, mixed, mingled, duking it out.
Well, this is interesting because if you think about it, with the new Star Wars, there is no full Empire and Rebellion anymore. That story is done. So it's going to be very interesting to see where the war from Star Wars comes in. And right. I mean, there's really no way of knowing. Will we see Yu-Song Vong? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But we will probably see the Millennium Falcon on screen. And if that doesn't make everyone just crazy excited.
What if that's how they kill Han? They blow up the Falcon.
No! No. Okay, no. I will stand for a lot of things, but if you blow up the Millennium Falcon, like, dead people will happen.
We already watched the DeLorean blow up in Back to the Future Part 3. We will not watch the Falcon get destroyed.
Oh my god, like, seriously.
I'm gonna, when we come back in 3 years, you might be eating some crow, sir.
Kill Han, kill Leia, blow up Chewbacca on a planet, Luke get chopped in half, Yoda come back, kill him again, I don't care. You touch the Millennium Falcon, and there is hell to pay. Alright? Slave 1, 2, you touch Slave 1, no! Like, you don't do that, alright? People are expendable. Those machines last forever.
We'll see.
Now I'm nervous.
Now I'm really nervous.
That's what's so exciting. Like think about every time you watch Game of Thrones, where it's like, my God,
they
what
don't
is?
Kill the horse? Oh wait, they do. Shoot.
Yeah. No, like that's what makes Game of Thrones really exciting. You have no idea what's going to happen, and that's why I think people should really get in the mindset that anything can happen
in
these new movies.
Wait, by a showing of hands, please. Does anybody here really want to see Game of Thrones, the Star Wars edition? Like really? Okay, so a couple people, right? A few. I think while that'd be really great, I think we would terrify children for eternity.
No, I'm talking about. I'm talking about.
Kids
I'm not talking about like, yeah, we're gonna get the Star Wars equivalent of the Red Wedding. No, I'm talking about. I'm talking about the style of storytelling where every time you turn on an episode, you have no idea what can happen.
Brian,
I think that's what's going to.
I've been thinking. Oh, you know, wouldn't it be cool if some Disney employee, some Lucasfilm employee were here or listens to this later on. And now I'm like, please, please don't. I hope you don't hear this.
Oh, they're here.
Oh, they're taking notes to the back. Destroy Falcon.
Look around you.
Okay, so we got like 5 minutes, so one more
question.
Let's
roll through them.
Yeah.
Okay, in that you've said that we should not try to have preconceptions based on the extended universe, because we have preconceptions about the prequels, and that's why so many people were disappointed, there wasn't material to go off of with the prequels.
Well, there kind of was, because you knew where they were going to end up.
But not
like, we end up with an empire.
Well, and there were moments in the Return of the Jedi novelization, which were from 83.
Yeah, but there was that moratorium of like 30 years that they couldn't
get. You're wrong!
But there wasn't that much existing material to base your preconceptions on. Don't you think that the fan base would deteriorate if they just annihilated the extended universe?
Here's the thing, though, is that there's no annihilation going on here. Look at Marvel. Again, look at the 616 universe versus the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah.
Look at the 616 universe versus the Ultimate Universe versus the cartoons versus the movie universe. All these universes can coexist. It doesn't detract from any of the enjoyment anyone's previously got from any of those expanded universe stories. Just because they're not canon in the movie cartoon timeline doesn't take away that those stories existed.
And to some. Yeah, and we also have to talk about Star Trek for a moment. I know, wrong panel, but Seriously, when you look at Star Trek for, you know, just as long as Star Wars have had novelizations, and those novels conflict with each other all the time. They're not even consistent internally, and yet they are always, you know, debunked by the movies, by the TV shows, by all that stuff. So when you sit down and you look at it as a whole, you know, you take what you want, and that fan base is still, you know, growing and vibrant, and when they rebooted everything with the new one, it's just gotten that much bigger. So, yeah, they can live together. Will diehard fans swear off Star Wars? Absolutely. There's no way that you're not going to get that troll element.
Yeah, we didn't want him anyway.
Yeah, but by and large, I think people who just want to experience the fun of Star Wars will forgive any of those little tiny details that they just can't keep.
Well,
that
because
you can't. You cannot make the movies beholden to books. You just
no,
can't.
I agree.
You can't.
You can't. But also, we're bringing in a massive new fan base. We have so many people out there who Episode 7 will be their first Star Wars. That will be their childhood experience.
Right.
That will be this, what they remember of Star Wars forever. And I think that whatever fan base is lost because of preconceived conceptions will be overwhelmingly outnumbered by a new fan base.
Well, I think Star Wars survived the really vocal minority who didn't like the prequels. It'll survive whatever vocal minority doesn't like these movies.
Yeah.
It'll survive whatever vocal... I mean, like, the minority of people who read the books is really a minority. I mean, if I'm Disney and I'm looking on a spreadsheet how much money the expanded universe is bringing me in as far as the books and novelizations and those stories versus the toys and the movies, I'm probably going to side with the toys and the movies.
Yeah, I mean, the books don't make... I mean, they're nice for the book companies, but they don't make Lucasfilm and Disney money. I mean, they just keep the brand burning. And again, don't get me wrong, I love the EU, and I will be very sad when like the new Jedi Order, you know, kind of stuff is not going to happen, because I would love to see a Yuuzhan Vong one day just so I could punch it in the face. That said, if it never happens in a movie, I get it. There's no reason why I'm going to get upset for it not to show up.
Because you can still go back to those books and read them.
Yeah, because you can still read them, and they're still there for our enjoyment. So, you know, it's all good. Do we have time for
probably one more question?
Make it good,
make
man.
It good.
Sorry, no guys. Pressure.
Don't screw this up.
There is a lot of talk about Thrawn and being in the new movies, but one thing I really wanted to see is his second in command actually in there, because his Pelian.
Well,
he actually commanded a battle inside a back tank.
At the end of this, probably the second film of the trilogy, I'm sure at some point somebody will say Thrawn.
It would be.
It'll
nice
be like Thanos.
Yeah.
He
right.
just turns
just
around realized. And smiles.
I just realized, I wonder.
Okay, so at the end of episode 7, we get Boba Fett's hand pulling himself out of the Sarlacc. At the end of episode 8, we get Thrawn rotating a chair like, what's up?
Maybe that's how they'll work it. Maybe that's how they work it. Like, they've got post-credit sequences that don't actually have anything to do with the movies. And they just show us like
Nick
a tease
Fury
of what, like, it's just like fan service. Like, okay, you can stay after the credits and we'll film something that you think you care
just
about.
Just one scene, right? Like Sam Jackson just pops back up, psych.
All right, final thoughts, guys.
I am excited for episode 7, and I think that's about all I can say. I mean, really, that's all there is to it. Like, either you're excited for it, or you're not, or you're nervous about it. But I think I think that you should not be nervous, personally.
Yeah.
Who here is ready for episode 7?
That's like half of you. Why are the other half of you here? What's going on in the next panel?
We terrified them.
We need to scare everyone. Everyone in this entire atrium of the Marriott needs to hear us. Are we excited for episode 7?
Yeah!
That's how I feel.
Everybody else is in shock, just like, the Falcon can't go.
I know. It's like, I was excited, Brian.
Yeah.
No, I'm
that's what I'm here
so
for.
Excited for the new movie. And I really don't have that many expectations at this point, except that I think it'll be good. And I so look forward to it.
Yeah, you know, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You know, try to just sit back and wait. I mean, the best movies that, again, arguably were ever made in the Star Wars franchise have always been by other directors, by other creative teams, and Lucas has always given input into them. We're back at that mode, people. We're back at maybe getting another Empire. Now, do we know that it's going to be an Empire? No, but these people love this franchise. There's no reason that they're going to try to intentionally sink the ship. They're going to do their absolute best because they want to stay employed. Okay? So, like, give them the benefit of the doubt. When you hear that they actually cast Affleck as a Skywalker, just go with it. You know, and just wait for the movie to come out, you know? And hopefully they don't blow up the Falcon. Otherwise, I'm going to cut it.
Okay, so, I mean, people complained when Lucas was around. People complained when Lucas sold it. People complained about Disney. People complained about J.J. Abrams. And then, you know, I take all that in. And the only thing I'm left with at the end of the day is, what if it's good?
Exactly.
Like, what if it's really good? So that's exciting.
Did anybody complain about Joss?
No one complains about Joss.
Nobody had a brain. No, they just knew somebody was going to die.
Everyone went.
They made that exact face.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, it's Star Wars, and I'm going to love it because it's Star Wars, not because of who's directing it or if the Falcon gets blown up.
Stop it!
So, I mean, I'm going to love it regardless.
Put that
because I love Star Wars, and I've loved it since I was a kid. So, yeah. You know, that's not going to change. I mean, the movie could be, like, you know, total crap, and I would still love it because it's Star Wars.
I think there's a habit of Star Wars fans to get overexcited to know everything about what's going on with Star Wars. And until the movie comes out, we kind of need to ignore that inner voice a little bit.
Ignore your inner voice, people. Well, actually, ignore your inner troll.
There you go.
All right, guys, give our panelists a big... Up next, we've got the... Daniel Logan and Matthew Wood in Regency 6 and 7 over in the Hyatt, okay? But real quick, let's do...